Welcome back.
Okay, well, welcome back to the Windows 8 UX Design Jumpstart. In this session, we're going to be talking about designing global apps and designing for a global market. And one of the great things about Windows is that it's used all over the world by many, many people that speak many, many different languages and in different regions. And that's a great opportunity for us to create an app that reaches as many users as possible. And when I think about designing for a global market, I think about the Windows Store is also throughout the world, mm-hmm. wherever Windows is sold. And by designing a global app, I can reach, it's so much easier for me to sell an app throughout mm-hmm. the world. And if I do the work and the due diligence associated with designing an app that works great in all those different languages and all those different regions, it just increases the market or it increases the audience of people that are going to fall in love with my app and what it's great at and its user scenarios.
Exactly.
So this session is all about designing for that global market. So when I think about a global market, I think about how Windows is used worldwide. The store and apps are provided in over 100 different languages and over 200 different markets. And if I create a great experience for these different languages, different regions, and different cultures, again, I'm going to just increase the market for my app. I'm going to increase the audience for my app. And again, the Windows Store makes it so easy for me to sell in all these different mm-hmm. markets. We'll talk about that in the Windows Store section shortly after this one, that it really is a compelling argument for me to create a global app from the start and start adding more languages and more regions over time to just increase the market for my app and increase the opportunity for the app.
Exactly.
So what do I need to think about when I'm creating a global app? Well, I need to think about location. I need to think about the languages that are supported. And I need to think about the regions that are supported. So if we dive into each of those, and again, this is something that, for example, language. This is a feature within Windows that users are going to leverage to specify what language they want to use within Windows. And then that's something that I can pick up on in my app mm-hmm. And leverage that feature within my app to support my app being supported in that language. So if a user goes into Windows 8 and goes to Control Panel, Clock, Language and Region, and changes the language, like you can see here, where I've got English on my machine, and I've got German on my machine, and I've got a language called Pseudoloc that we'll talk about in a second. Users can switch the language, and users can speak many languages, they can speak multiple languages. And this is going to affect the content in Windows, the content in your app, if you do the right things to support that language, and then also the keyboard. So you want your app to reflect that selection of language. So here's an example of the weather app. This is actually running on my machine, but running actually after I've changed my primary language to German. So same app on a machine that was purchased within the U.S., but supporting a different language.
Yep.
So for example, if you think about in America, lots of people speak English, lots of people speak Spanish. It's still a U.S. version of Windows, but it's just a selection the users made.
Yep.
Canada, English, French, there's plenty of examples.
Mm-hmm.
So region is another thing that I need to consider within my app. Again, if a user goes into Control Panel, goes into Clock, Language, and Region, and changes their region, that's going to specify or that's going to change a lot of the settings around dates, times, numbers, calendars, currency, telephone numbers, units of measurement, and paper sizes, and how they're formatted. So I definitely want to think about that in my app. So rather than hard coding the format of a date into my app, I want to make sure it always looks mm-hmm. right based on the region that the user selects. Because again, they might have had a version of Windows that they purchased in one country and change it to a region when they're traveling or something along those
mm-hmm.
lines. So if I hard code it, they're not going to have a great experience. And if I use some of the strategies we're about to talk about, it's always going to look right depending on the region that the user is using, not the region that you built the app in.
Yeah.
So here's just some examples of some of those settings, like short date, long date, what's the decimal symbol, the number of digits after the decimal, and so on. These are things that users can change with their region, and you want to react to them properly in your app. So let's go ahead and just look at a quick demo. So I'm going to go to my start screen, and here just a couple of quick examples. So you can see here that the weather app is currently in showing in English. If I go into the desktop, and I've actually loaded a couple of different languages into my US version of Windows. But I can go into language preferences and change my primary language to German. Okay? And then if we go back to the start screen and load up the weather app, notice that everything's been translated into German. So this app has been globalized so to support localization, then localized to support German text for all of these different strings. So mm-hmm. what's the temperature, what's the wind speed, and so on. So if I go into Contoso Cookbook, we can see the same kind of thing where right now everything is in English. Let me go ahead and go into a recipe and come back here. And there you can see that we're translating a bunch of different strings within the app, including, on the app bars, within the tabs, to German to support that different language, right? Mm-hmm. So if I go into Chinese recipes, and then you can see here all of the different menus and app bars are supporting that German language selection that the user made. So we've globalized this app and then we've localized it for the German language. So when a German user starts using the app, they get a great experience. And the content is still in English, but that's, again, something that you would be doing in your app to support, a German version of the app. You'd have translated content as well. Okay.
I have a friend who keeps his phone in German. He lives here in the United States, but he practices his German with his phone, and
awesome.
He speaks with his friends and family in German. So.
Exactly, yeah. People, regardless of where they're from in the world, can speak multiple languages and have preference for language.
Exactly.
Right? So what do I need to do in order to create a global app? Well, the first thing that I need to do during the planning of getting my app ready for the Windows Store is I want to select a default language. And then select the supported languages, regions, and markets that I'm going to support in the app. So if I, put my app in the store and I say that I'm going to support English as the primary language, and then I'm also going to support, Italian and German and so on, well, I need to make sure that the app is globalized, which means it's the process of designing and developing the app to function in multiple geographic areas or languages. And then I need to localize the app for each one of those particular languages or regions that I say I'm going to support. Because obviously, if someone in the German market or someone that searching in the store for apps that support the German language, if they go in and see my app in the list of, an app localized to German, and then, install it on the machine, and they're not getting a great experience in the German language, obviously that's going to be a letdown, and that's going to be a dissatisfaction with the app, versus if I have a great experience for all the languages that I say I support, then obviously it's going to open me up to more markets, and higher ratings, and more usage of my app. Okay. So when I'm thinking about globalization, again, this is building on not only some features that are built into Windows, like we had seen with that with me switching my language or me switching my region, but also built on top of a lot of the guidance that we've given over the past couple of days. So if I design with an adaptive layout for text size, layout, screen orientation, that gives me a lot of the work that I would need to do for globalization right out of the box. Also, using globalization APIs to express date, times, and numbers is automatically going to pick up on features in Windows rather than that being hard-coded in my app. And then finally, I want to separate resources like text and images from code so I can swap those in and out as I start supporting more languages. So let's go into each one of those aspects of globalization. So the first thing is layout, and this is something that you're going to learn fairly quickly when you start localizing an app, is that English strings can increase by up to 40% when translated, right? So a string that fit, just fine in English, maybe when it's translated to German, is going to be longer, and if you don't account for that in the design of your adaptive layout, can cause, issues within the app. It doesn't look as beautiful and work as well for that German user. So
Yeah, it looks like it wasn't considered.
Right.
It looks like a mistake.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's a satisfaction issue. Yep. So the other thing you want to consider is vertical space for marked characters, like the two that I'm showing in the slide here, where I want to provide a little bit of headroom above and below each of my strings. So when I'm showing special characters in other languages, they're going to account correctly, and they're not going to overlap, and they're not going to bump up against other design elements or other UI mm-hmm. elements, and again, cause that feeling of low quality. You'll also want to adjust the minimum font sizes for legibility. For Sago UI and a lot of the fonts that ship with Windows are going to take care of this for me, but if I'm going to be using a special font for mm-hmm. my app, I want to make sure that I'm testing minimum font sizes to make sure everything looks great and readable even in all of the languages that I'm going to support.
And it's great. It's worth mentioning that Windows 8 also supports fonts that support many, many different languages,
right.
many, many different styles of writing. And so there is a plethora of lingual apps or
yeah.
lingual fonts within the Windows 8.
Yeah, yeah, system. That are going to look great regardless of the languages that you're supporting or the region that you're supporting.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing I need to think about is dates, times, numbers, and currencies, or anything that's going to be affected by that region setting. So don't assume formats or measurements or paper sizes. Don't hard code these formats into your app, because what's going to happen is someone's going to change the region of your app, and then they're going to note that you're still showing currency in U.S. dollars, or you're still showing, you know, the separation of, you know, of digits within, you know, 100,000 with a comma instead of a period. So what you want to do is you want to get together with your developer team and make sure that they're using the Windows.globalization namespace and the APIs within there to set or get region-specific formats. And rather than hard-coding them, you get them from the API. And again, this is a Windows 8 feature that automatically provides you the right formatting in order to match the region that the user is using on their Windows machine. And there's other things that are built in, like using the date picker and the time picker will automatically provide you the proper formats, picking up that region
yep.
setting, right? So if you keep these things in mind, and I know we've said start early quite often, but if you do this from the beginning, you're going to note that as soon as you start switching regions in your testing for all of the different, you know, languages and
mm-hmm.
regions that you want to support in your app in the store, everything's just going to look right.
Yep.
So the last thing that you want to do is to make sure you separate resources from code. So rather than hard coding, you know, strings into your app, you want to make sure that they're separate from code so you can localize all of those strings for all of the different languages that you're going to support. You also want to do this for content, including images, as well as content like the recipe content that we're downloading when we launch the Contoso Cookbook app as well, and have those have a different stream of that content for each of the languages that you're going to support, and then pick up on the app and load the right resources and content. You can use a tool called the Multilingual App Toolkit to help with a lot of this. And that's going to give you a really great process and workflow for localization to different languages, and I'll show you that in a second. The app's going to load just based on building on top of the features of Windows. It's going to load the right resources based on the language code that the user, the language and the region code that the user has set up within their machine. So you're automatically just picking up on that setting. If you have a localized version or a regional version of the content, you can start loading that and using that in the app. If not, you can fall back to the default. So the Multilingual App Toolkit is a great resource for doing the localization. So this is an extension to Visual Studio 2012, including the Express version. And it gives you a really great process or workflow for translation. And it does a couple of different things. First is it gives you the ability to machine translate into different languages that you're going to support, just to kind of like as a gut check to say, hey, how do things look just with a machine translation,
mm-hmm.
just so you can start doing a little tuning if necessary for string length or, yep. again, that space above and below strings and so on. But then it also gives you these industry standard XLIF files that you can send out to your translation team if you have one, or, you know, a translation company to actually do the human translation to make sure that it's, you know, not, I mean, we've all seen human translation of other languages into English, and maybe it doesn't make that much sense as having, you know, an actual human expert that's a true translator do the work. So we get kind of the quick translation with machine translation, but also supporting that human translation by providing these XLIF files that you can send out separate from the code, so people can do the translation and get it back to you without impacting, you know, the worry of giving them access to source and impacting any of the code within your app. So let's actually do an example of that with the multilingual toolkit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put myself back into English mode right quick. And then I'm going to open up Visual Studio. And this is the Contoso Cookbook project. And I know this is a little bit of code here, but I think understanding this from a design perspective and working with your development team across this process of globalization and localization is important. So if you see here, I've got a resources folder within my project, and inside there I have the default folder for the default language. In this case, it's US English. I have a resources file where I'm taking all of the resource strings for Contoso Cookbook. So here's one called All Recipes. The value for that in the default language is All Recipes. The comment here where you'd give hints back to the translator. Here we're just saying All Recipes. You do want to put a description in there and what is the string and how it's used. But I go through and pull out all those resources in a language specific way. And then from there, what I can do is use the multilingual toolkit to go ahead and translate all of those strings into the various languages that I want to support. And again, this is machine translation. Like, here's that all recipe string translated. Here, in fact, let's just go ahead and do the translation. You can see that All Recipes has been translated into German, right? And then once I have that that translation, I can reload the app and see the impact on the app. And hopefully, if I've done my work correctly, the impact is minimal, maybe just a little bit of tuning, right? And then I can take this file and send it off to a translation company or the translation team within my company, and they can actually do the human translation. But this gets me fairly close. Another tool that I find really, really helpful is this concept of pseudoloc, or a pseudo language for doing translation. And what this does is, you can see here, let me go ahead and translate this. You can see here that it takes that all recipe string and translates it into not really a different language. It's a pseudo language that increases the string and puts the characters above and below. And it gives me kind of a close approximation of the impact of translating this across different languages. So I can still see that it reads all recipes, mm-hmm. and then when I use it within the app, I can see the impact of having those characters above and below and that extra 40%, and I can still read it, so I know that the right string is being loaded in the right place.
Yeah, you don't have to be fluent in the language that you're trying to translate.
Exactly, right? So always do PLOC first. So if I go ahead and just like build the app really quickly, to make sure all the resources are being built. And then I can add new languages just by going up to the project folder. And let's just say add translation language. And I'm going to pick Italian just as an example. Right? And that creates a new XLIF file for Italian. You can see the country code here, Italian in Italy. I open that up. Right, and you can see that it's already done the translation for me of all of those resources. And again, if I use this and just run it on my local machine, it'll take a second to run the app here. You can see I set everything back to English, so all the strings are showing up in English here. But if I go back to my machine and move up Italian to being my preferred language, and going back to the app, just go into Steam Bun Baus and go back, you can see now I've got another supported language. So that's, I mean, there is work to be done to do the localization, but again, if you use the features built into Windows and some of these tools like the Windows.globalization namespace, and then also use the multilingual app toolkit, a lot of the kind of the heavy lifting is done for you, so you can really concentrate on just the work of the translation, right? So it's a huge boon for reaching out to all of these different markets.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing opportunity to reach markets that perhaps you were not able to easily reach before this.
Yeah, that's the thing that always kind of blows me away about this process is, with the Windows Store, it's so easy to reach all of these different markets that the Windows Store is available in. Mm-hmm. And so it's a huge motivator for me to do the work of globalization and localization, because maybe before it was really hard for me to sell software in Italy or in Asia or in India. But now that the Windows Store is there, I can do some globalization and localization and reach those markets.
Yep.
So what are some of the design guidelines that I need to think about? Well, first, think about the layout and text spacing. So if you test in pseudo language first and then in each localization, you're going to hit a lot of this in early days of your testing. You might have to do some adjustment for horizontal and vertical space, for labels and text, like you see here down at the bottom, the difference between a refresh in English and refresh in German. But if you use adaptive layouts and you test early, you're going to catch a lot of this stuff and create an app that is not only beautiful and very, very functional, but also is beautiful and very, very functional across all the languages you support. A couple of key things to think about when you're thinking about language and thinking about putting text and strings in your app is avoid colloquialisms and metaphors. And where you do use those or technical jargons, abbreviations, or acronyms, make sure that you provide information to the translation team on exactly what you were trying to accomplish or what that text actually says, to make it as easy for them as possible to translate it into the language that they're going to be translating into. So those comments that you'd seen in our demo application weren't as explicit as they would need to be for real translation. So you'd want to be very, very explicit about what you are trying to communicate in those strings to give the translation team as much information as they need to actually translate it into that language.
Yep.
You also want to avoid culture-specific text or images. You want to provide images that are fairly common or universal wherever popular or wherever possible. And if in cases that they're not, you can actually load the images from a resource-specific way as well. So you can load up images that do make sense to those particular regions. You want to avoid images that might be politically or personally offensive based on the local culture. You want to think about maps when referring to regions and cultural sensitivity or political sensitivity when showing maps in different countries. And things that you might not even think about until you've actually done a little bit of work in globalization and localization is the impact of color. Color has different meaning in different cultures and different parts of the world, where red might mean something, in Japan, like courage and love. It means mourning in Egypt. Green is always associated with money in the U.S., but in Indonesia, it means danger. It means forbidden. So think about these things and tune your app for all the regions that you're going to be working in. And again, it's easy just by separating that out into a resource. Okay. So that's designing for a global market. And again, Windows provides some very, very powerful features as an operating system for language, content, and language and region, as well as locale. So if you understand those and leverage those, you can create a global app that's going to work great in every location, language, and region that you support. And again, it's so much easier to sell, software and to sell, app upgrades and so on in the Windows Store, that globalization makes a lot of sense. Globalization, making your app ready for different localizations. That's the part of, separating those resources, using Windows.globalization to load the right formatting and so on. Sets you up really, really well for being able to localize into all the languages and regions you're going to support. So the multilingual toolkit, or the multilingual app toolkit for Visual Studio 2012 is a great tool for doing that localization, as we saw in the demo. I just in a few minutes took all of the strings that were in English, translated to German, and then just added a new language to the app, ran it through machine translation, and then I could start testing right away to make sure that that looked great in that new language that I was going to support. Again, supporting a new market. So that's global. That's designing for a global market. Again, a great opportunity for you to reach more users, for more usage of your app, for people to really fall in love with your app all over the world.
And what's awesome about that and this next session, which is going to be about the Windows Store, is that you can have a truly global experience getting your app to the world, not only the world using your app, but getting your app to the world.
Yeah, your app's going to be so awesome. Why limit it to be just awesome in one language or just awesome in one country?
Exactly.
Sell it across the world. Okay, so tell you what, we're going to be back here in about 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about the Windows Store, kind of ending our journey across this jumpstart.
Sad face.
But it's going to be a great one because it's going to talk about kind of the end result, that satisfaction of getting your app up in the store and making it available to users all over the world.
See you soon.
Thanks.